Hey, welcome to another episode of Geekly Reveal. It's that show that brings you geeky news on a weekly basis. That's geeky, that's weekly, that's geekly. And today is certainly a day. Wowie wow. Once again, I am joined by my cool co-hosts. Would you like to tell the people who you are?
Hey y'all, it's Stephanie, aka Captain Steph on Twitter, The Smoke Pair on Tumblr, and Hella Steph on Instagram. And you know, the Snyder Cut wasn't that bad.
What's up? I'm Zack Snyder. I'm here to talk about my cut.
Like the cut of your jib.
Yeah, I went and got my hair cut. It's pretty good. It took 4 hours.
Pretty fresh.
I would give it a 4/9 as its rating. Nah, it's me. It's Eric. I'm still the guest in the guest seat. It's my seat now, bitches.
You did it. It's me. I'm bitches.
Claim the seat.
How are you two doing today?
You know, I had a very good sleep last night. I slept an hour and a half longer than my roommate, which is an accomplishment. Okay. Because she usually shows up around 2:30 on weekends, and she was up at noon, and I didn't get up till 1:30. So
wow, that is a sleep in. Yeah, I woke up at 7 as per usual because alarms.
Yeah, you have to take medicine, dude. Like yeah. I don't.
Oh, I woke up at 7. That doesn't mean I took my medicine at 7. It just means that I woke up and was like, I don't want to get out of bed. But yeah, you know, this weekend was pretty okay. Today, less so. But yeah. Yesterday, you know, I was blessed by Pokemon cards, finally. Yeah. You know, like, it felt pretty cool. I hadn't opened cards in a long time. In the third pack I opened, I got a card worth $150, and I immediately sold it.
Nice.
We love that.
Life is fleeting. So
literally walked back to the store I bought the cards from. I was like, hey, would you guys want this? And they're like, yeah, we $150 want it. I'm like, cool. So.
Swag.
Yeah.
I've been having a fun couple days because my partner got sick the other day. We got tested. It's not COVID, so that's good. Just a typical, like, head cold or whatever. So I've been sleeping on the couch just to, like, not get sick. You know, the things that we all should have been doing as a society before a pandemic.
Society should have been sleeping on the couch.
No, I mean, like, just, like, taking sleeping on the couch is comfy. But, like, you know, just, like, sickness precautions and stuff like that. So I've been getting up earlier whenever she gets up, which has been nice. It's almost getting my sleep scheduled towards normal, but not exactly. Just not sleeping in quite as long, so... And started working on the Persona 5 Strikers endgame, which is just beat the bosses some more and fight some strong shadows. I finally fought the dick shadow.
Yeah, Mara.
Yeah, Mara. He's reserved as one of the, like, not bosses, but, like, extra hard, like, hidden shadows you have to fight.
Oh, yeah, extra hard.
Extra hard dick shadow.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
It would have been so easy, like, so small spoilers, but he's in, like, one of the later dungeons that's just kind of like a dilapidated, scummy-type place, which makes sense. But the first...
That's where I keep my dick demons.
That's where I keep my dick demons, too. But the first jail that you infiltrate is, like, you know, they theme them all around, like, the Seven Sins or whatever. And the first one's, like, lust and stuff like that. And it's, like, this, like, she dresses up like Alice in Wonderland-type character, so she's, like, a very sexy, sexual character. And it'd have been very easy to put this dick ghost, like, in the sex area, but, like, no, put it in the shitty jail, like, shitty gross-looking jail. Like, we don't need to, like, be that on the nose.
The dick demon belongs in jail.
Well, they're all
jails.
The
demon belongs in jail, not in sex.
Yeah.
Not sex
in,
hell.
Yeah. This is the only jail that looks like a jail, but it's a fun game to still keep replaying, and my boy Ryuji has my back with his bat. He's just always swinging and hitting people with a bat.
I still appreciate from what I hear.
From what I hear, Ryuji swings in a certain way.
You know,
ways actually.
I don't think he swings at all. He's the hilt, more or less. Or scabbard, whichever you prefer, I suppose. But yeah, let me date Ryuji in the game, you guys. He's so happy and fun. But yes,
I still like that the new character in that game. Their weapon is yo-yos.
Yeah.
She's like, so literally.
I love Sophie. I don't... Yeah, so there's a new character in Persona 5 Strikers named Sophia, and as all Phantom Thieves get a new code name when they go into jails, so, like, player character turns into Joker, Ryuji turns into Skull, On turns into Panther, that kind of stuff. Sophia turns into Sophie, And it's like, well, she doesn't have an identity to protect because she's an AI, so it doesn't matter. But it's just still like, we don't have a better name. Like,
well, she even like chose it. She's like, no, I like that. It's like, oh, okay, I guess.
Okay, that's not very sneaky, though.
Yeah,
yeah. But I mean,
you
want to
be
one,
sneaky. That's
no
not
one else
sneaky.
Knows her. I guess that's fine. Yeah. But,
The thing that like was funny to me the first time I ever played original Persona 5 was, you know, you get your main character and he's called Joker, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, we're gonna go with like maybe like, you know, a card names theme or something. And
nope,
then it's like
not exactly.
And like I was like, oh, like An and Ryuji could be like, you know, queen and whatever. And it's like, nope, not at all. Like,
bitch, you thought.
It's like, oh no, her name is Panther. And I'm like, well, I mean, she is literally wearing a cat suit, so I get it, but that seems a bit too on the nose.
But then you get to Makoto, who's queen, so you're like, so are we doing this or not?
Yeah, I was like, so wait, hold on.
They really could have been like Joker, Queen, Knight, King,
Jack. Like
Ace, anything. Like that. Like, you could have done the whole suit. Like, yeah, Jack. Yeah. I meant to say. Yeah, but it's a fun series. I wish every game had a Dynasty Warriors type game.
Oh yeah, I've converted him.
I thought that after I played Hyrule Warriors, like it could fit with so many properties. Like, make a Mario one, make a Sonic one, and if we're never gonna get a mainline Mario Sonic game, fuck it. Mario and Sonic Warriors, just have them both just like smashing through Goombas and Badniks. It'd be awesome.
I still think a Dragon Ball Z one would be fantastic. Like,
be so
and a Pokemon
good.
One, like, you know.
And a Batman one.
I mean, that's Arkham Asylum.
But more guys, though.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool to just like swing through a bunch of bad guys as Harley Quinn, you know? Like.
Yeah.
More good times for Harley. She deserves it.
That's true.
But yeah, how about food disasters? I feel we don't have like a ton of topics this week, just some big ones.
Yeah.
So we're willing to stall, but food emergencies, what's up?
So it wasn't actually a disaster this week, I don't think.
Yeah, I made some choices that were ultimately bad for me, but delicious.
Yeah, same.
I'm proud of y'all. Tell me, Steph, what have you done? What have you done?
What have you done? What have you done? I made cinnamon roll peach cobbler, which
so good.
It's so good. It's so sugary. My teeth still hurt, but you just cut up cinnamon roll, like pre-made cinnamon rolls, into chunks, and you mix like vanilla, cream cheese, cinnamon, and peaches. Like canned peaches, you cut those up a little too, and you mix it together with the dough, and then you bake it, and then you put the cinnamon roll frosting on top of.
Oh god.
Yeah. On top of what you've made, and then you get diabetes, and it's all worth it.
You put it on top of the creation you have wrought.
Yeah, the thing that you have brought into this world.
That sounds very good.
It was delicious. There was a deal on... I was getting biscuits anyway from Stop and Shop when we did our delivery order. And the there was a 3-for-1 deal. Or like 3-for, like a discount deal on biscuits. So it was like, well, I was going to get some biscuits anyway. And then my roommate was like, ooh, biscuits. But then we needed a third one. And I was like, how about some cinnamon rolls?
Ooh.
And that's the story.
See... Mine is much less, like, fun, but that sounds delicious, though.
Yeah, it was. Mwah.
So, I found a new product when I did my grocery shopping this week, and it was called sausage bacon.
So, those are two different foods in generally.
Correct. And I still think that they probably should be two different foods. Because what this essentially was like, hey man, have you ever just wanted really thin sausage?
No.
Yeah, right? Like, that was my response, too.
Like, super thin patties? Is it, like, kind of burnt to give it that bacon texture, or what?
No, because it's literally, like, it's raw, you have to cook it, and so it's just, like, really, really thin and long-cut sausage to make it look like bacon, but it is sausage.
Why?
I don't... No.
Because they could,
Yeah, and like, look, I'm a breakfast food fan. I'm a BFF.
as they call us in our subculture.
And I So I saw this and had to try it, of course, and I actually just ate it probably a couple hours ago. I made it for dinner. And it just, it didn't really, like, taste like sausage, but it also obviously did not taste like bacon at all. Nor did it really have the consistency of either of those things. So you just
ate meat, weird meat.
Yeah, it was like just a meat, and like I put it on a breakfast sandwich, so like, I don't know, it's also like horrible for you. The serving size is two pieces, and it was 150 calories per serving.
That's Oreos. Oreos are two Oreos, yeah, and like 160 calories per serving.
And like, I'm used to like turkey bacon, which is what I usually use, and it's like, you know, 60 calories for like three pieces. So I saw that and was like, well, I guess this is, you know, this is my punishment, I suppose. But yeah, I don't know, like, a thing that did not need to exist is my my like final verdict on it. But you know, like, if you see it and you're like, I love weird food things, like, yeah, I guess you could eat it.
Like, I like to try when they put two things that shouldn't go together together.
Yeah. And like, you think like bacon, like, and sausage are good.
Aren't they both pork though?
Yeah.
I feel like making one into the other is is just a weird idea. Like, let's take this part of the pig and make it pretend to be a different part of the pig.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sausage is just all the parts of the pig.
Ooh. Isn't that what a hot dog is? No, hot dog's what's left.
Yeah, well, I mean, the sausage is like the scraps.
Sausage,
and then
is just a fancy hot dog.
Yeah, the hot dog is what's left after the scraps are taken.
Sausage is just a hot dog with some seasoning.
Yeah.
I mean,
but there,
yum. I don't know, actually.
I did see a food crime that I am actually kind of sad I don't get to put into my body, and I was faked out by it. I saw an article that McDonald's was releasing the McMeatball burger.
Oh yeah, saw that.
But it's only in China, so you don't get to eat it. Even
God
though
damn
that's,
it.
That sounds like such a thing that, as an American, I should be allowed to eat that.
I should be given. It is my God-given constitutional right to put something that terrifying sounding in my person.
It that's... looks like a sloppy Joe, except like the meat parts is just really big meatballs. it looks foul.
Functionally, what's the functional difference between a meatball sub and a sloppy Joe? Really?
Yeah.
The meat is stiffer.
Pretty much.
Stiff meat sandwich.
Yeah. It look and like. It still has, like, that shitty McDonald's lettuce on it, too, which is probably, like, the killing... Like, that's the killing blow of that sandwich of, like, hey, we still put our shit lettuce shreds on here because fuck you, that's why.
As someone who has a huge issue with cheese, both morally and physically, something that I think they need to make is the McPhilly cheesesteak, just to see how gross it would be.
Just to outdo themselves in nastiness. It's like the fucking nasty patty, like.
Yeah. The thing is like, I'm sure that another, like, quick service restaurant has done something similar. Like, I'm sure Wendy's or...
Sure.
I know Arby's does Philly cheesesteaks, and they're awful. Like,
yeah, but that makes sense. I'm talking about, like a shitty one from fucking McDonald's with, like, the crap lettuce on it. Like, that's why I want them to do it. Because it's like, lettuce doesn't go on a Philly cheesesteak. It's like, no, because this is a McPhilly cheesesteak.
Yeah, and it's you know, one of the three ingredients that we have here in our shop, so it's gonna go on this.
Oh, man. So... We've got a little bit of pop culture news this week. I don't know. We could do video games or we can do comics. Do we want to give Disney money or do we want to give video games money? It's really the two options we have this week.
Thankfully, I don't think we have to give either of the money just to talk shit about them.
Oh, yeah, no, every time you talk shit about Activision, they make $10.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to make that $10 every 10 minutes anyway because they're terrible people. So
Yeah, so fuck Bobby Kotick again.
Yep.
As usual and forever.
Because, like, he's the, what, CEO and stuff of Activision Blizzard? And,
correct.
And they just laid off a whole bunch more people, which would be understandable if he didn't just also, at the same time, take, like, a massive bonus.
Like a $20 million?
I thought
200?
It was $200 million bonus.
Yeah, it was many millions, and two was involved in the number.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was $200 million, you could have, like, paid... 200 people to keep their jobs, like, minimum, yeah. like, and paying them well, which means you could have paid a lot more people. That's just terrible.
Yeah, in publishing, if you gave everyone at my company who was a junior employee, and we're making publishing money, it would only cost $2 million a year to give everyone a 20% raise. Damn. So Activision could afford to keep on a lot of people with $200 million.
Yeah. And it's also, like, it's a kind of like a double fuck you to, like, the, like, you know, obviously the employees, and that is bad. But it's also, like, they cut a bunch of the community management team and, like, yeah. the moderators and stuff for, like, their live service games like World of Warcraft, a game which is already notoriously poorly moderated.
Oh, so, good. Like,
got rid of more of them, because why would we try to provide a decent service for something you pay for each month?
Yeah.
Because yeah. fuck gamers, that's why.
I mean,
yeah.
on that end, they're right. They did make it. Yeah. If their goal was to say fuck gamers, then I support them fully. I'm just joking, but gamers are the worst.
yeah. Speaking as a gamer, we suck.
yeah. They also laid off and fired a bunch of, like, their esports people, which, you know, could be a sound business move if they weren't also about to start the next season of Overwatch League and presumably Call of Duty League. So we're like, wait, so, like, how is this supposed to, like, work then? You know, you've really, like, done everything you can to make this competitive scene not viable by saying you're
they're doing their most.
They are. And it's just bad. Like, this scene could have been really good. It's a very fascinating game to play. Almost indecipherable to watch, even if you know what's going on.
I was gonna say, it's still like god awful to watch from all perspectives. They still have never figured out a good way to, like, make the camera make any sort of sense.
Well, yeah, that's the problem with first person shooters, is the people that are really good move in such a way that you get motion sick watching them. But just the amount of, like, visual effects on, like, an Overwatch fight, depending on what the metagame of the moment is, can be completely indecipherable. Like, there's that joke going around, people are like, oh yeah, pronouns are confusing, then what's this? And
it's like
it was like a screenshot from Overwatch, and it wasn't visually cluttered, but I was looking at it and I'm like, I don't know what any of the people on the screen are actually doing. And someone's like, just to prove the point, everybody who has responded to this has given me a different answer. And I'm like, three people here on each team are doing the wrong thing. But that's neither here nor there. But just the amount of visual effects, unless it's like just a sniper duel kind of situation, like two snipers shooting at each other, which is actually very coherent to watch. You can't see what's going on. Like, Symmetra's ultimate has, like, a giant, infinitely spanning wall that's, like, blue particle effects, and the other team has one, plus they both have, like, their lasers going off, plus two Reinhardts have their shields, and Genji's flying around with a blade that's glowing, and, like, there's stuff I'm like, there's been times I play the game, like, I literally can't see either team's characters, like, they're just flashing lights everywhere, and I'm shooting in the general direction of an objective and hoping that I look at the kill feed and it's the right colors.
Similar things happen in playing, like, MMOs in, like, busy areas, but, like, they often give options to, like, turn down the effects, or, like, you can just be like me and be like, no, I want to see how pretty everybody's spells are. Fuck if I can't see anything. I don't care.
Yeah.
But that's still very bad for a, like, what is supposed to be a spectator sport.
Yes. And, I've watched League of Legends, and I don't understand what's going on, but I could tell you what happened. I'm like, well, like, the dwarf dude ran up there and made a red explosion, and the blue guy, like, tried to run away and then fell down. Like, so that means the red team has an advantage. Like, I could tell you the general, like, I don't know if that was hard, but he did it.
And overall, I would also, like, bruh. Absolutely like Chance the Rapper in the SNL skit every time.
That's a good skit. It's so good. But yeah, so a lot less team working on all that stuff. And that's just, like, the esport if, like, everyone was trying their best, but they're not. Like, they're gutting the outside stuff. Like, they're not going to have, like, home matches anymore, which is good for the time being, but is bad as soon as, like, we enter post-lockdown, which could be happening in the next year or so, given how vaccines could be rolling out. They're not rolling out well, so I say in the next year. But I'd like to go to another home game. Those are super fun, you know, and maybe another league would step up, but Blizzard said that no one's allowed to do it, so we can't even, like, try to have a grassroots community, which is pretty shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I do think that, like, just to touch on what you said about with League, like, there is also something to be said of, like, RTS is being a bit easier to present because it's just a map top down.
Yeah.
And you can just show the map and people can watch that and generally understand what's going on. So, like, Blizzard cutting even more of their esports team to continue to not develop the way that they present it. Just, what you doing? What you doing?
Yeah. They don't have people working on how to present it. They don't, like... Because there could even be stuff that's like, okay, this game, the way it's built, is never going to be presentable, but we have people in the esports division figure out how to, like, maybe do, like, stadium technology or something where it's like, hey, there's going to be certain camera... Like, I don't know. There's stuff that could happen. And that's... That's less important than the fact that a bunch of people lost their jobs for no good reason. That's what's actually important here.
Yeah.
Just approaching it from my little fandom angle.
Which yeah.
And, you know, again, it's also just the... This is why capitalism is absolute garbage. Because, of course, they lay off people in order to increase the bonuses for the CEO and also for, like, the investors to see a, like, greater amount of profit. Because that's the way it works.
Ugh. Yeah.
And that's just... Fuck that. Fuck everything about that.
Yeah, I hate it. So we can slightly transition to other game stuff that's just more weird. I haven't seen anything bad yet, but I guess Sony and a new company now own EVO, the Evolution Series fighting game tournament.
Yeah.
So that's weird, right?
It's really weird, and it's also, like, the way they announced it was like, hey, like, things were really bad last year. And, like, we canceled EVO, A, because of COVID, and then B, because of, like, some things coming out about the, like, founders and some of the people who ran it. So they're like, so we need to build trust back, and we're going to do that by being bought by Sony. Which is, like, a really weird way to, like, phrase, like, a hey, we got bought conversation. But, like, I don't disagree that, like, having an actual, like... big company like that running something does make it, you know, probably present a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, yeah, because at least Sony as a company is more than just their gaming company, so they're willing to do stuff like, hey, that's not going to fly because the general public's not going to think this is okay. Yeah. Where a lot of esports tries to be so, like, endemic and insular that they're like, oh, you know, people are just coming in to try to change things. And when they mean change things, they say, maybe we shouldn't say slurs in our broadcasts. And, you know, maybe this won't, like, be on CBS, but at least it could be on ESPN or something. They're like, no, I want to be able to say, like hard F cuss words or, like, slurs and stuff like that. It's like, but that's not adding to the broadcast, really. It's just that we don't want to be professional out of some, like, being edgy, like, counterculture stuff. But, like, I don't care. I don't mind if things are more presentable. And when that happens, that makes them more welcoming by, like, you know, if we're not able to, like, cuss at each other and call each other slurs, you're naturally just going to get... you're just naturally going to get more marginalized people showing up when, like, hatred isn't tolerated at least the biggest events.
Yeah.
And that trickles down, you know.
And they, you know, people were nervous because, like, because it's Sony buying it. Or partnering to buy it, they're like, oh no, like, it's only gonna be Sony consoles now. And, like, Sony already came out, so, like, no, we're not gonna, like, limit what consoles are at these events. Like, we're literally just, like, co-sponsoring it.
That's, like, I feel like that would just be like, we want fewer people to come to this, and, like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, right.
From a capitalism perspective.
Exactly. And, you know, the biggest fear we have for Smash Bros. As an esport is definitely Nintendo still. Like,
yeah.
Like, Sony's not the ones who, like, as long as Smash Bros. Brings in viewers, no one's going to be like, ah, no more Smash Bros. It's going to be Nintendo that's going to do that.
Yeah, and it, like, for all we know, Nintendo might be like, oh, you mean Sony owns this now? No, you can't play Smash Bros. At it now. Like, which would be a boneheaded but very Nintendo move to do.
Yeah.
Since, as we all know, Mario dies in 10 days.
Mario dies in 10 days!
I really wonder what's going to happen. Like, I feel like they're just going to be like, hey, we're releasing it. For real now, full price, like, we scammed you. I'm like, yeah, that feels... I don't know.
I don't know, like, I think... Dies. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time they've done something like this. Like, back for the 25th anniversary with the Wii, I think, had, like, a Mario game collection on it that they released. And it was only available for a certain amount of time, and they, like, they were fucking held fast on that. You could not get that game after that time period. So... I guess.
But at least that was physical. Like, they're like, hey, we just didn't print anymore. It wasn't digital, was it? Like,
right. Just... Well, I don't know if there was a digital copy available, because I don't think I was too in tune with what was going on the Wii Shop, other than some sick jams.
Yeah. I had that collection. I don't know where it's at now. I don't know if I gave it to somebody or not, but it was pretty all right.
Yeah.
Mario 3 is the only one worth going back to, honestly, in my opinion.
I think Mario 2 is pretty fun.
It's fun and interesting, but 1's not worth going back to, and Lost Levels is just funny.
Lost Levels is bad. it's like the fuck you, like, you thought you were good at Mario. We're here to tell you you're not.
Yeah, it's not good game design. Like,
no.
It's very funny, but yeah, someone was asking under one of the Eva posts, what does this mean for Smash Bros. Now as an esport? I'm like, I don't know, maybe they'll actually get real prizes, like, if someone else is running these tournaments.
Yeah.
Just because they famously get bad prizes. Like, at Evo Japan, I think the grand prize was, like, a controller or something. You know, something that somebody would already clearly have.
And just was like, here's this thing out of its box with...
Yeah. With, like, a logo on it.
But that's, yeah.
That's goofy. And the last little bit of video game news isn't really news, but... You showed us a little game called Buck Bumble, and it just has a funny theme song that I think people should look at.
I was just saying, like, I saw you put that on the list for the topics, and I was like, I don't really know what we need to say about Buck Bumble.
What do we need to say about Buck Bumble?
Not much, just that. I just wanted to bring that up to people.
Yeah, to give a little bit of, like, additional background to it is, like, it's of this genre that is basically, like, you know, these weird, like, character platformers or action games that kind of died out after that, after like the PS2 era of video games, essentially. You play as a bee with a gun, and the theme song is done in the style of like British rap almost.
Like, oh boy, it's so wild.
Yeah,
it's a fun time. But it's not news. It's just something that we talked about this week as friends.
Yeah, go listen to the Buck Bumble theme song, you know. Go look at some of the old weird N64 games. I recommend Rocket Robot on Wheels. You know, that kind of like niche stuff.
Yeah.
Or I think I made you guys listen to the music from Mystical Ninja as well.
Yep, no, it was so 60s anime.
It's very
good.
You
were right.
Mystical Ninja Goemon. But yeah, so, you know, that's another thing on the list. Now let's talk about Disney. No. There's actually non-Disney on here. Shit, I messed up. That's the Snyder Cut.
You messed up.
That's comics, but it's not Disney. So we'll get to the Snyder Cut at the end. Let's make people wait for that part.
Oh boy.
Make them wait for my cut.
Marvel stuff. You said there's a queer Captain America, and I saw something about that. What is that? More queer than the original one, anyway.
Yeah, right. So, in, like, typical Marvel fashion, they were like, instead of just giving you literally the one thing you've been asking for years and years, even in, like, an alternate universe, we're instead going to introduce a new character who will be taking up the shield of Captain America. Hmm. And I did see some laughs because, as always, like, some news places called him the first LGBTQ+ Captain America, which is like, oh wow, I can't believe this guy managed to be a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and plus. Like, what are those things where that is not a, like, use the words you need to use to describe a person, because that's like calling a person diverse. Like,
he one contains person multitudes, can't be. Stephanie.
Like, but yeah, so this guy's name is Aaron Fisher, and he wears overalls because he's queer. And
look, I live for the stereotypes that, as so far at least, are non-problematic, that are just like, oh yeah, gay people don't get their license. You say gay people can't drive? No, they can drive just fine, they just don't. Or like, black people run around when they think something's very funny. You know, things that you'd have to know the group of people to make that joke.
I thought it was always if they see a magic trick.
I forget that. Whose joke is that? I remember that joke, but no, that it's something slightly different. But that's, I mean, that you've obviously seen the joke. You've seen a black person before, and it's not quite saying I have a black friend. But like, if you know how black people laugh or how gay people are around math, that means you know somebody that is that group. But yes, please go on about him in his overalls.
Oh, yeah. So it's just like, it was like a whole, like, big, like, you know, news cycle thing that happens in the comics world where, like, it's almost like the reverse of the Mr. Potato Head stuff. Honestly, it's like, instead of, like, controversy baiting to the right, they're, like, baiting the left. They'll put out a bunch of news stuff that's like, queer Captain America! And it's like, then people are like, oh my god, really? Finally? Like, what is happening in Captain America in the winter, or like, in fucking Winter Soldier and Falcon, or whatever? And then nothing. It's like, no, it's just this character in the comics that you'll have to go find a store that sells $3.99 like 22 page books that no one can access in a pandemic to find out this character's story. But yeah, I don't know. I like, it's, on one hand, it is like a cool thing. Like, it's not like as shitty as like having like the first non-binary character named Snowflake and like their weird like blue and pink outfits like that we talked about a while ago.
Those power sets were cool. That premise could have worked, but it in its form, it was not the way.
Yeah,
I liked Snowflake and their brother's powers. What, I forget what the other ones were, but like a shield or something.
Yeah, one of them was like was surveilling people somehow, maybe.
Yeah, it was like the Screen Time or whatever his name was.
Yeah, phone kid. Yeah, I think it was Screen Time.
But I don't remember Snowflake's brother's name. It doesn't matter.
It's also an S, and it was also troubling.
I believe it. Yeah. So, I mean, it's better.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about reading comics in general, though. This is my problem.
I'm not a nerd. I don't read comics.
Nerds.
Fucking nerd shit. But yeah, so I just have feelings in general about the delivery / like the timing of it is weird, especially because the first episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier, spoiler alert, implies that Steve has died. I don't know if you got that vibe, but, like, they never actually said that he was dead, but, like, it had that kind of vibe for sure to me. They were putting Steve's shield in, like, the Smithsonian.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, we'll get into that in a second. Actually, let's get into it now, right?
Okay.
Because I guess it ties in. So, we watched the first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus,
which was a lie to title it that, because they did not interact at all in the first episode.
It's the story of Falcon and the story of the Winter Soldier. These stories aren't related yet, for some reason. Get to it. Just show us the bromance.
It's only 6 episodes. You have limited time.
Yeah, which I guess makes it as long as WandaVision, or longer than WandaVision, if they're all going to be an hour, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched that, and I thought it was okay. It felt more like... If you like cop procedural, like, pacing and tones, it was like that with, like, a Marvel flavor to it. And,
it was boring to me.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was okay.
It was... Yeah, I mean, like, I think it picked up as it went along, but I felt like one of the few things that... I think that, like... So, like, there was a... Like, the side plot of, like, Sam's sister not being able to afford her small business, and, like... Sam not having any, like, funds to, like, support her or anything. Like, it would be really cool if this was doing kind of like what the beginning of WandaVision did, where it was like, we're telling a story using these other mediums, but also making a point about these mediums kind of thing. Where they're saying, like, where they're, like, intentionally, like, lampooning isn't the right word, but, like, taking a scalpel to the idea of, like, the fact that a black man who is literally not only a veteran, but literally a superhero who saved the actual universe, can't get a loan.
Yeah.
Like, unless they're intentionally trying to skewer that, it just feels like, really? Like, you can imagine a fucking world where, like, a magic gloves brings back billions of people, but not a world where a black guy could get a loan for his small business.
Like, I was laughing about this with my partner, actually, because I was like, that's weird that Sam doesn't have any money, but I was like, there must be a lot of people that are broke right now. That, like, they're like, yeah, we look at the last 5 years of income, it says that nothing's there. And I'm like, that's pretty shitty considering, like, his sister says, we didn't exist. And we're like, I was talking to my partner, like, that's exactly what a bank would do. It's like, yeah, you don't have 5 last years of income, like, I don't care that you weren't alive, there's no money here, so it looks like we can't give you this loan.
Which, as somebody who specifically worked for a bank, that is 100% what would have happened.
Which is, like, it steps into weird territory because Sam's one of the few, like, black characters. And it's like, they can make this a race story, or they can make this a capitalism story. Or both, because they're intertwined, because these are both at play. But especially when, and I saw, I think it's like a take from FanBros, where someone pointed out to them, or they pointed out, I haven't checked out the podcast, but it seemed like they were really pressuring Sam to give the shield to the Smithsonian. And, like, the next day, you have, like, a fake Captain America come out, like, a good old white boy kind of dude with a shitty suit, which I think was intentional. There's no way they accidentally MCU made a suit look that bad.
It's actually funny to me because it reminded me very strongly of the, like, Cap's Avengers suit, which was, like, the most, like, Lycra-y, like, kind of polyester-ass looking thing of, like, all of the Cap suits.
Yeah. And I don't want to say it's shitty, because I feel like if I saw it in real life, it would look really fresh, but, like, just with the lighting and cinematography of this, it looked just cheesy.
This guy with a fucking jawline like the grandpa from Up.
As soon as I saw him, because the last thing we see is the new Captain America, and then it goes in the credits, I'm like, this is giving me serious, like, and I've never seen this show, but just, like, videos about it and, like, clips, it gave me vibes of, like, Homelander from The Boys, like just like a gritty sort of comic booky credits. I'm like, this reminds me of The Boys, and that'd be really cool if they went that way of, like, yeah, we got rid of Hydra, but, like, we're still doing Nazi shit because America. And I think they could do some really interesting stuff if they wanted to talk about race, because, you know, Wanda did her stuff, like, with grief and all that, and they didn't really approach it from, like, a female perspective, I don't think. Even if they maybe did the story a feminine way, I'd have to talk to, like, some theorists, people that are more in, like, feminist theory, to see if this felt like a uniquely feminine experience. But I think they could do some really interesting stuff with, like, race and capitalism on Sam's side, and then some more PTSD with, like, Bucky stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm, like, also mixed on the Bucky stuff, because, like, I feel like, on one hand, like, I liked the, like, I am going about doing my, like, quote-unquote amends in the most, like, shithead possible way. I thought that was, like, very funny, and, like, I liked the banter between him and his therapist.
Yeah, also those Mr. Robot-ass angles of him, like, with those camera shots.
I was annoyed that literally in the first episode they were like, go on a date with a girl, James Buchanan Barnes. Like,
yeah. And it's kind of funny too, because it seemed like he was like, I guess I'll do that because I like this guy that I'm talking, like, I like the old man I'm working with.
Yeah.
He didn't seem like he was doing it because he cared about the girl, which would be a great way to be like, he's like, oh, I've been on the dating sites, like, yeah, seen a lot of tigers, and people are like, what woman has a tiger? Like, Bucky, right? Swiping dudes, like, which would be great. He's just looking for, like, he's looking for Steve.
He's just looking for a little person he can defend, and then becomes a beefcake guy.
But what an unfortunate time for this this to release, because, like, the first thing we see Bucky do is a flashback as the Winter Soldier is, like, killing an Asian kid, which is just like, ugh. I mean, like, he did kill some white dudes first, but, like, they weren't, like, the emotional center of that. They were just, like, They were clearly just nobodies. They were
the
bad guy that
the Winter Soldier was there to kill, and the Asian kid was just a witness.
Yeah. And it's like, oh no, this is the worst timing for this.
Yeah, and then you find out, like, he has this, like, really charming relationship with this older guy, with, like, an elderly guy, and, like, I was at first, like, oh, like, maybe, like, the way they're bantering, like, maybe they knew each other in another one of his amends, but that he's doing it a nicer way. It's like, oh, good, that's why he's...
Yeah, it seems like he's making amends to all the people he wronged, but part of making amends to the people he's wronged is disposing of the people who got him to wrong people, which is... I don't hate that. He's like, oh, crook politician. I'm going to pretend to blow up your car, but actually I'm just going to, like, get you arrested. Because that's the most legal way to accomplish this particular goal. I thought that was a fun little setup, but it was interesting to see Bucky not be interested in a woman. And I did keep laughing. Because, like, have we seen Bucky have a positive relationship with a single white person besides Steve in this entire, like... In this entire franchise, because like the only peace I've had was in Wakanda, but besides that, I've been in a war my whole life. And then he comes back and like, who's your best friend? Oh, this old Asian guy, like, and this lady at a restaurant we go to. Like, Bucky is from the 40s. He's like 106 years old, and he's like, I really don't. I'm too old to care about race. I really do not
fuck with white people. Well, I mean, like, that's like one of the things that like comes up whenever like anyone gets like butthurt about like Steve or like Sam having the shield or something, is that like, one, yes, Captain America was like an Aryan, like Ubermensch, but like
his squad. That's why he got picked.
Yeah, which is why he got picked, but, like, his squad was, like, very diverse. Like, Bucky and Steve were, like, also, like, Bucky and Steve were, like, little Irish kids from Brooklyn, like, Irish Catholic kids from Brooklyn in the 30s. Like, their family were probably, like, in some, like, socialist shit anyway.
Yeah, they weren't having but, a great like, time.
Yeah, but, like, the fucking, like, even in the war, they were fighting with, like, black and Asian soldiers, like, in the Howling Commandos. Like, it's backwards of people, it's a backwards interpretation of the characters to, like, assume that because they grew up in the 20s and 30s that they will be racist, I guess, in...
Yeah, like, I'm sure there's some stuff they had to learn. Like, I'm sure they weren't, like, quote-unquote woke or anything or did all the right things, but the first thing they seem to do is, like, hey, I just want, like... Because... I think I saw something is that Steve Rogers fought for what the American ideal was supposed to be. And he doesn't just blindly follow what people like. He's like, yo, fuck SHIELD because they're Nazis. Like, they're bad. Like, and yeah, that leans in a little bit of like military propaganda and stuff of like, it's not that the government's bad. It's just that the wrong people are there. But Steve's like, well, if it's the wrong orders, then I'm not doing it because I'm not going to go hurt innocent people. That's not what I do.
Because literally, like, just following orders is a bad excuse.
Yeah.
And it's the one that the Nazis used, so...
Yeah, and that's,
it's the
like,
one I punched a lot of people in the 40s about.
It's like this whole story is, like, I hate bigotry and bad guys, like... And, yeah, so Cap's going to fight for what America claims to be. And, unfortunately, what we actually are is a lot of, like, imperialism. And, like, Steve's like, yeah, I don't fight for that. That's why I'm not going to sign the Accords. I'm fighting for the right thing, whether it's legal or not, which... I think Bucky would be that way if he didn't spend, like, the last 20 years brainwashed by Nazis, but he seems to not be jazzed about that, so, like, makes him a lot better than a lot of comic book fans. I thought it was an okay thing. Like, I'm not, excited to watch it like I was with WandaVision, but I'll enjoy the ride, see this. I like that they're telling stories that are more grounded, or at least giving us a little glimpse into these characters' lives. Like, oh yeah, Bucky probably does live a really weird, tortured life. Like, yeah, besides superhero stuff, like, what is Sam actually doing? Like, we don't know anything about Sam other than young old Captain America. Like, oh, is his family owned a fishing boat? Like, he has a sister? Like, he has black friends? The first thing I think I heard him say was like, hey man, I'm trying to get like you. I'm like, so black people were involved with writing this script at least a little bit. Like...
Like, I was like, that is a thing that actual black people say to each other. Like, someone involved in this script writing, maybe it was just like fucking Anthony Mackie, but someone.
Yeah, someone black had control over that line, or someone at least knew black people enough to write realistic black dialogue. Besides, like, that's jive, man. You know, like that kind of shit. Yeah, yeah, I mean,
big oof.
What's the line the one Black Wizard has in Harry Potter? Like, man, Dumbledore got style. Like, come on. He does. Like, I was just watching like Cosmonaut Variety Hours.
Dumbledore got style.
Like, yes, that's true, but like anybody could have said that.
Anybody could have delivered that line, not just Shacklebolt.
Like,
oh.
Do you have like any other lines? No. Okay, cool.
He becomes Obama at the end, I think. Doesn't Kingsley at the very, very end become the Minister of Magic?
I don't know.
He's like the Obama of
Britain.
He's probably still doing
British
wizards
specifically.
Yeah.
Ooh, but yeah, I mean, it was definitely an acceptable way to spend an hour. I've seen worse things.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I don't have much of a thought. It's just like, that was cool. Like, I didn't waste that time. It was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, I can think of worse ways I've spent 50 minutes and I'm invested in these characters, even if the show is boring so far. Like, also just, like, the gall of, like, they did a really bad job of, like, establishing the timeline at the beginning because it was unclear to start out. It started out with this big action sequence with Falcon, and, like, it was very unclear, like, is this a flashback? Is this before he was an Avenger? Like, where are we? What are we doing? They did a bad job of establishing the bad guy by saying that it's a bunch of terrorists who want open borders with no nations or something like that. And it was like, so all of the gay communists who are watching this show because they love the Winter Soldier, that's what you're going to open with?
Yeah, like...
is the fucking... They're terrorists because they want open borders.
Yeah, like, they framed it like, they're terrorists who think life was better during the blip. Oh, they're bad. And they want open borders and no nations. Like, that doesn't sound bad, though. Like, that seems... that part seems fine, but the first thing we see them do is rob a bank. So it's like, what's their goal here? Like,
they rob a bank.
They're not even, like, social justice warriors. They're just, like, random criminals that, like, just seem to be bored.
And then fucking, whatchamacallit, like, there's, like, a big plot point that, like, Sam, the ticking clock for Sam to catch them is that they're approaching Libyan airspace, and they can, and even Sam, like, a rogue government contractor in a flying suit, can't, like, disrespect Libyan airspace by touching it even an inch, so he has to stop them before they reach Libyan airspace, as if the United States has ever respected the sovereignty of any other nation on the planet.
Well, Sam has to. He's like, I'm an Avenger first, and a government contractor second. That was
and
weird.
The fact
I'm like...
that, like, he's like a government contractor the way that, like, people drive Uber because they don't make any money right? doing their real job.
Yeah, he's like, I don't work for the government. I have contracts with them to, like, sometimes stop terrorists. Like, bro, you're an Avenger. You saved the world. Like, we can't give you a grant. Like, we can't just make you a soldier. Like, what... Yeah, what is I don't know. It was weird. The Marvel Universe is a strange place. But yeah, I don't know. I want to see more Bucky. I'm happy that Sam gets to actually be black. So I could be more upset.
Like, he's just I saw a really depressing thing that was like he was talking about how much and like he wasn't even talking. He was like joking about it. Like he wasn't talking about it in like a serious way, but like about the way like Anthony Mackie was about the way that like he. Always ends up being in movies where like after the movie breaks good, the white guy he was in it with is the one who's like always like rocketed into like the public eye or like wins awards and shit. Like I guess he was in like the Hurt Locker or something, and like he's been in a bunch of movies where like after that it was like, and then people love Jeremy Renner out of it, like even with the Winter Soldier, like, and then people love Sebastian Stan out of it. And it's like, I'm glad that he's getting so much screen time in the show because he's just like a generally like pleasant person to watch.
Yeah, he's a good like, actor.
He's a good actor. Like he's not bad to look at. Like, and he's just got like a good like screen chemistry that like I don't care what's going on with like this weird like small town. Like bank racism plot, like, but I'm enjoying just watching him like interact with other characters. Like,
I'm really bad with actor names. Is he the one who in every picture looks like he has a secret?
Yeah,
yes,
he does look like that. I had to grow to learn to like Anthony Mackie as like an actor, because the first role I saw him in, he was the final boss in 8 Mile.
Oh, no.
But like, it's not like that. Like, that movie, not like it shortchanged black people from speaking lines, because it's like it's a lot of black people. But like, he's supposed to be like this deadly rapper, like skill wise, I mean. And he's the one who like embarrassed Eminem's character in the past. And he's the one who's like, all his buddies are the ones who like jumped Eminem and stuff. So he like, Eminem's rise, it's basically a tournament arc is the end of this movie. And he's like, they always like, I'm a rap first. I'm gonna put this white boy in the dirt. And then you get to Papa Doc, Anthony Mackie's character, and his only lines are like, I'm gonna let this bitch go first. And you're like, uh-oh, you shouldn't have did that. And then Eminem just crushes him, and then he drops the mic, and then Anthony Mackie's character is just scared, like, he's too shook, and he just gives up. And you're like, so you didn't even get lines, you're supposed to be this, like, scary. So it's imagine if Goku fought the whole Ginyu Force, and then Frieza was like, oh no, I'm scared, and ran away.
To be fair, Frieza does kind of do that at one point, so...
Yeah, that's what happened. But no, he does a pretty good job, and I think it's Sebastian Stan. The reason I think a lot of people liked him from Winter Soldier was that, like, we already liked Steve Rogers, so all his goodwill got rolled up into his boyfriend.
Yeah, and Steve was just, like,
Anthony was a side character.
Yeah, like, he was very much more, like, the supportive best friend, whereas, like, there's a lot of fandom cachet, not only wrapped up in like hot white guy with blonde hair, hot white guy with brown hair pairing, obviously that, but like, too, yeah. Which
also
obviously
robot
that,
arm,
like robot arm, like also the, but like the like whole like Wooby backstory of Bucky, like having like this like traumatized character who's perfect for her, like every Hurt Comfort fanfic, and like gets into, like, lets people, like, use the fanfic to talk about their own, like, mental health issues and stuff. Like, that, there's, like, that, like, kind of Wooby brunette aspect to his character as well that I think...
True.
I think there are, like, not just that there is a lot of character goodwill wrapped up in it, but I think Sebastian Stan had a lot of, like... handicaps in the way of like golf handicaps already in his favor.
Yeah, that said, if it were up to me, there'd be a lot more like conflict fic between like Steve having a like being in a love triangle between like Bucky and Sam,
mm-hmm.
and he maybe likes them both, but they don't realize that. Cause like ever since the scenes from Civil War when they're in the car watching him like kiss his girlfriend's niece, they're like, cause they don't know that they're like, our guy's getting a girl, like. These two dudes who, like, don't really fuck with each other like that. But, like, that's our boy Steve. And even, like, the idea that Falcon doesn't like the Winter Soldier. Like, he realizes that he was brainwashed and didn't do all those things of his free will. But still, like, dude, you fucking suck. He's like, I get it. That wasn't me. He's like, no, I get it. But I can't. Like, you ripped my wings off. Fuck you. Hey, man, could you move your seat up? No. Like, no. Such a good scene. Like, why is there more, like... Falcon Winter Soldier fic. That's trash. I hate this planet.
That's what, but that's what this whole show is gonna create. If there's any, that's literally the title.
Like, how that's the point of the show. I like the idea.
This whole show
is no
like,
bad guy. Like,
there's no bad guy. We just want to make it so everyone wants Sam and Bucky to kiss this time.
That'd be so great. I mean, Sam Anthony Mackie already played like a character that was like questionably homoerotic, like in that episode of Black Mirror, where he's the Striking Vipers one, the one where he's basically like, fucking his friend in the Oasis.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, yeah.
Well, the fucking, whatchamacallit, the, like, there's, like, a Tumblr joke that Sebastian Stan only plays either characters that die, characters who have president names, or characters who are gay. just, like, looking back at his old filmography, and, like, James Buchanan Barnes...
Yep, that's all of those things. Also, Mantis was in that episode. Palm Clementife.
She was, I
think, Anthony Mackie's husband, or wife, in that, like, his real-life girlfriend wife.
Oh, you're in the Black Mirror episode.
Yeah, Black Mirror episode, yeah.
I was like,
no, she wasn't.
I was like, I know that I missed the, like, one Martian Manhunter appearance in the Snyder Cut, like, that I didn't realize I had missed until we were watching the pitch meeting today for it. So I was like, maybe Mantis was in the episode.
Nah. That'd be cool, though.
I can't believe Justice you missed Ja'on Ja'ons.
Ja'on Ja'ons.
But yeah, I don't have any other thoughts about the Winter Soldier. I talked about it more than I thought we would.
Yeah, we kind of went off.
Let's go into the Snyder Cut that only you have seen.
Yeah, so I'm the war correspondent for the Snyder Cut. Yeah,
I've seen all of the takes on it on Twitter, which are fucking hilarious. So.
Kal-El no.
But yeah, so, like, I don't know though that I'm gonna say anything, like, new and exciting about it, but, like, me and my roommate became under the influence of various chemicals last night, and, popped on the Snyder Cut because we have my mom's HBO Max anyway, and it didn't cost extra money to watch it. And it was super pretentious from the beginning, like, down to, like, my roommate posted a picture of, like, there's, like, a shot before the movie starts that said this movie is being presented in 4:3 ratio to preserve Zack Snyder's creative vision or something. God, like that.
Who has a creative, like, vision in 4:3?
It was like, she was like, I'm already out. Like, I'm over this. And then, like, the title card, like, this is, like, such a small thing to fixate on about how pretentious it was, but, like, they were showing, you know, like, they credit, like, all the actors at, like, the beginning of a movie sometimes, so they were, like, going through all the credits, and then it said Zack Snyder's Justice League, but, like, at the same, in the same exact size font as all of the names, so that it was, like, really subtle and artsy, instead of, like, a big dramatic Justice League title card. And, you know, like, the thing is, it wasn't a bad movie. It was just a meandering and long movie. Like, there were a lot of excellent parts in it. I would say it's more memorable than the Justice League cut, because I remembered so little of that it was hard sometimes to tell whether I think even if I had been stone cold sober, I would not have been able to remember enough about Justice League to tell what changed, except for, like, the really big parts that had changed, because, like, I know there were a lot of takes about, like, there being fewer, like, butt shots of Gal Gadot in the Zack Snyder version, like, and stuff like that, like, just as, like, kind of people pointing to the ways, like, the subtle ways that Joss is a bad person and director.
I'm gonna call shenanigans on that, and then Zack Snyder changed that in post. Like, that wasn't his original. Like, we saw the trailers, like, why he was still making it, of, like,
yeah,
upskirting Wonder Woman, and he made Sucker Punch. Like, we know this, yeah, dude, like isn't, like chugging Respect Woman juice, whether he's a little better than Joss Whedon. It's not like he's some hardcore male feminist. Like, he just did a little better this one time. Like,
yeah, so, like, I wouldn't have even occurred to me to notice those things. Like, there was some, I think, like, Austin Walker had retweeted, like, there's a bunch of, like, silly stuff about, like, the difference between, like, the lighting in the shot where Wonder Woman is introduced, where she's standing on, like, a statue of, like, blind justice. The drawing people have of
Batman
parademons or whatever, like, in the two different movies, it's two different drawings, but they're both demonstrably hilariously shitty.
Yeah.
You're like, why make that difference?
Yeah, like, why change it to a different shitty drawing?
It's like if they, like, had, like, a different Sonic in the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Yeah. Like, in a different cut.
I want, yeah, the teeth,
there was,
cut,
like, the director's cut with a different with a different Sonic. Like,
release the teeth cut, you coward.
My Sonic has human teeth.
Imagine that whole movie with nothing else changed except for Sonic's model and the Sonic picture.
Yeah.
But, like,
that's a thing that I did hear about this, or did hear and also saw about the Snyder Cut, and I believe, Steph, even you posted something about it. Like, it just looked like it had PS3 level, like, CGI in it.
Yeah, like, there were some points where, like, stuff that was clearly new still looked very, fairly smooth and lifelike and all of that. There was one scene where, so, like, the whole introduction with the Amazon. So, the whole plot of this, there are these three mother boxes that if they're combined, they'll create something that will be bad for and destroy Earth. And in the Joss cut, Steppenwolf is the whole bad guy. Like, he's collecting these for generic evil reasons. In this cut, Steppenwolf is a minion of Darkseid, and so he's collecting the boxes to try to, like, make something up to Darkseid. There's a lot of really, like, heavy but clearly unintentional homoeroticism in a lot of the interactions.
It's a Zack Snyder movie.
Yeah.
He made 300. Just dudes being bros.
Just dudes being bros, mostly naked together. and oily. While oily, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so, like, so the way that the plot, you know, works, like, the Atlanteans were given one box to guard, the land, like, the people of, like, humans were given one box to guard, and the Amazons were given one box to guard. And, like, the scene where Steppenwolf comes after the Amazon's box is, like, at least 10 to 15 minutes long, and, like, basically, like, he's chasing them, and they keep passing it to someone further ahead that he can't reach. So, like, they're, like, she's running away by hand, and she, like, ties the box to, like, an arrow with a rope and shoots it ahead, and someone on a horse way up ahead grabs, like, the arrow out of the air and catches the mother box and keeps going. Like, there's this whole, like, marathon relay thing happening that takes forever. But, like, there's one point where there's, like, a legion of Amazons, and it literally looks like they just copy-pasted, like, a PS2 quality poly, like, woman in a leather, like, queer ass on a horse, like, with an arrow drawn. Like, it's literally, like, the same copy-paste woman, like, 10 times, like, across the screen. And I was just like, what's happening?
So, the other thing that I saw, well, first off, this, like, dips a bit into, like, sort of actual, like, foreign film stuff, is that there were a bunch of screenshots that people were comparing to a film by Alexander Tarkovsky, a famous Russian director who did this film called The Mirror, mm-hmm. which is, like, this absolutely, like, indecipherable movie, like, that even, like, Russian audiences sometimes are like, I don't know what the fuck this movie's about. Like, but it's the Russian experience is what it's supposed to be about. I don't know. It's, like, got interspersed cuts of, like, documentary footage. It's fucking weird. Anyways.
Nice.
But, like, there are these screenshot comparisons of, like, the Snyder cut where it's, like, a woman overlooking a field with her hair tied back, and they're like, oh, he's referencing Tarkovsky here. I'm like, or he isn't.
Bro, this is just like The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah, like, I'm like, even if he is, this is the dumbest fucking reference he could have done. Like, and, you know, I saw all these, like, tweets and stuff being like, oh, this is true auteur cinema.
Kinema, like.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, okay, sure.
Like, it was pretty, like, in general, like, except for the fact that it was meandering, like, which I want to get into my thoughts about anyway in, like, after this, but, like, it was a good movie. Like, it wasn't a bad movie. Like, the ending, at the end of it, Batman has this weird, like, post-apocalyptic dream where he looks like fucking The Dark Knight Returns man with, like, it's like Batman, but he's wearing, like, a dirty trench coat, and, like, it's well, like an apocalyptic wasteland kind of thing. Like,
how he did in Batman vs. Superman?
Yeah. I guess, yeah. But, like, I didn't see Batman or Superman, but, like,
I've seen so many videos about it that it sounds extremely familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yes, it's the same thing. Yeah, yeah.
I was saying, because Batman vs. Superman drew a lot from the Dark Knight Returns comic.
Yeah.
I believe. But yeah, so, like, that was weird. Like, that was the only part that I really felt like, okay, it was weird that you put this in here, and, like, I feel like the one really interesting thing to talk about from this is that, like, because this isn't something that was extant, that this is something that they were like, okay, like, we're all in quarantine for another year, like, let's pay Zack Snyder to like, to do this as just, like, a laugh. Like, because it didn't exist before that, like, it wasn't something that they could just, like, be like, release the Snyder Cut, and we're like, here's the Snyder Cut. Like, so it was something that more creative work in retrospect had to go into. I'm curious how much of what did end up going into it is Zack Snyder's original creative vision versus, like, retroactive additions and fixes, whether for plot reasons or for, like, self-serving reasons or whatever.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Like,
wanting to seem more philosophical and highbrow in this thing that he has created.
I just honestly don't feel like this was his original creative vision. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I feel like there's a lot of that. But, like, the fact that Cyborg has a storyline now, really, like, there's less butt shots and stuff like that. The Joker's in it. Like,
it has to be.
Joker looks weird.
I mean, he already looked weird. I'll give him that. That's not new.
That's the thing that, like, that scene at the end, that, like, bad dream flash forward thing, felt like the one thing that felt like, I'm leaving this in here because this was in my original vision, more so than, like, I feel like creating the Snyder Cut in the aftermath of, like, not just, like, a large national conversation about Black stories, but also specifically a conversation about this character's story in this movie, like, it makes sense that he might have had, like, new ideas about putting Cyborg at, like, the emotional heart of the movie, and, like, but, like, the dream sequence felt like, and, like, that's another thing, like, with all the backstory and how meandering it was, like, it makes sense that he put more of Cyborg's backstory into this movie because he knew that there was not going to be a Cyborg movie. Like, it makes sense that he put more of, like, this other stuff in here because of that. But the dream sequence felt like it was, like, jumping ahead to what would have happened in, like, the third movie of this trilogy.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
And so, like, it was, like, it was calling ahead to something that was going to happen way down the line. And because there is not going to be a second or third Justice League movie, it felt like that might have been part of his original vision to leave in, because it wasn't retroactively self-serving to the characters.
Right.
I'm wondering if it was a part of the original vision, but he still had to refilm it, though. Like, I don't think it's old footage, for example, but that would be interesting to know. And I don't think we're ever really going to find out unless he releases some kind of memoir about it. But I think it's a very fascinating subject of, like, what was actually new? Like, what's old footage that got retouched? Like, how did things change? Like, not just a shot-by-shot comparison of the differences, because anybody could do that, but sort of a Zach coming in and saying, okay, here's something that Josh just decided to add, or here's something this studio wanted to add. Like, here's why they took this thing I wanted out. And because one complaint I heard or critique was the original Justice League felt like it was too short, like it had been cut down too much. Like, it seemed like stuff was missing. Whereas this version was bloated and could have been cut down to probably 3.5 to 3 hours and still been a complete story. Like, there's a lot of slow-mo that could have been removed kind of stuff.
A lot of meandering shots in order to seem deep.
Yeah,
and I do like the idea of people being able to see, like, whether or not it's good or not is, like, it sucks, but, like, Zack Snyder is somewhat of an auteur, you could say, like, by definition. Like, he's like, yep, that's definitely a Snyder film, for better or for worse. And I wish
it definitely had that, like, Frank Miller,
that,
like, eternal Zack Snyder, like, Frank Miller tone to it. Like, it was, like, everything was just kind of, like, off copper with the occasional, like, bursts of orange light.
Yeah. It's like, I just wish we gave more, like, marginalized directors the same ability. Like, I don't want to take away Zack Snyder's ability to make a 4-hour epic superhero movie, but I want other people to get that opportunity. Like, even if they only want to make, like, a 60-minute movie or something like that. Like, I love that you can look at a movie and be like, did Michael Bay make this? And be right. But I wish other directors got their chances, too.
To do that kind of thing. What's interesting, too, like, the discussion about, like, cutting things down is that, like, one of the things that I was really looking forward to after the third Hobbit movie came out was that with three movies extant, someone would take them and make them into a single decent movie.
Rather than three meh ones.
Three immensely bloated bad movies.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, someone finally did it. I'm excited. But then I got mad because they had cut all of Toriel's entire role out. And I was like, okay, so one of the good things that they did in the movie, guys, is that they took a story that has no named or speaking female characters in the whole book and put at least one in the movie. Like, there are parts of her character you could salvage. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That does actually raise an interesting question of, you made a better story, but potentially a worse movie by adding it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that for sure. I'm not familiar with the text. She's the one who's like, I'm no man, and like, kill the dude.
Oh, no. I've never made you watch the Hobbit movies.
Oh, the Hobbit movies. They're different than Lord of the Rings. Sorry, never mind.
Yeah. No, it's okay. No, this is Evangeline Lilly's character in The Hobbit.
Yeah, the big, like, gripe with that was like this weird love triangle that was forced in between her and one of the dwarves and Legolas, and it's just like, this absolutely did not need to be here.
Yeah, like, that didn't need to be there, and they had like lied to her to get her to come back for the third movie, because I guess like, because there was only supposed to be two movies, and like, she had signed up for two movies, and then they were like, well, we're gonna make a third movie. She was like, well, I'll come back, but I like, enough with this love triangle stuff, like, I'm not interested in being, like, I'm interested in being a cool badass elf lady, not, like, a sad love interest, and then that's what they did to her.
I saw it going around, if you could have any movie be recut, like, into a 4-hour version, or, like, have a 4-hour cut of it, what's something you'd like to see?
God, that's a hard question.
And as soon as I saw it, I'm like, Scott Pilgrim, and besides just my huge fandom for that movie, I think adapting a 7 or 6 book, a 6 book franchise into a longer movie, they could actually fill it with stuff that mattered. Not that it needs to be a 4-hour long movie, because at that point just make a miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Scott Pilgrim vs. the World could do better than to be like 1 hour and 45 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff that just gets looked over that didn't need to.
I think in a similar vein, you could say the original Watchmen movie as well. Like, there was a lot of, like, subtext.
Speaking
that was,
of Zack Snyder.
Yeah. There was a lot of subtext that was cut from, like, the comic in making that movie that kind of made the story very different.
Yeah.
And not in a good way. So, you know, so maybe that, I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't really think about that too much, because I don't know. I don't watch a ton of movies, I guess.
Me either. That's why I just go with something I know is on my head. What about you, Steph?
Yeah. It's hard for me, because, like, I think a good point that people had come up, like, saying, like in response to that, like, ask meme was that, like, part of the reason this thing is good is because it is the length it is. So, like, trying to think of, like, something that's got, like, something that I'd, maybe, like, Labyrinth or something, where, like, there's lots more, like, magic backstory and shenanigans that could go on. Like, cause it can't just be the banter. Like,
right.
And, but also, like, a lot of things that I love dearly have already gotten their, like, redemptive adaptation.
Yeah.
Like, the whatchamacallit, the Good Omens TV show is fantastic. They're making a new Percy Jackson miniseries so that we can block the Logan Lerman ones out of our heads forever. Like, the His Dark Materials HBO show is a really fantastic adaptation.
Yeah, I guess the question, like, comes down to, what do you think, like, could benefit from having it, whether or not they did a good job the first time? And it can't just be, I want to see more of it. Like I said, like, my reason for the Scott Pilgrim books is they had to gloss over some stuff to put in a feature-length film. But, like, Roxy kind of comes out of nowhere, and it's like, oh, yeah, we dated. Like, I had a bi-curious phase, and you, like, kind of, like, that's kind of weird, but I guess I gotta fight this person. And then she's gone. Like, that movie pretty much gets rid of the whole subplot of, like, hey, Ramona actually kind of sucks, too. Like, she's not shitty the way Scott is, but, like, all her exes are mad at her, like,
there's a reason, there's a common thread between why those people are mad at her.
Except, like, Lucas Lee, who was just doing it because he got asked. But, like, and then, like, speaking of bad Asian representation, like, the Katie and Augie twins show up, play a song, and die. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, everybody dies, so it's not like that was the hard part, but like, we don't know anything about them. They don't die,
they burst into coins.
Right. We don't know anything about them besides they're musicians and are very handsome, according to Steven Stills. Also, his gay plotline gets cut out. Kim's gay plotline gets cut out. The resolution with Nega Scott gets, like, changed, which I think is interesting for something else I'll get into another day. But there was a lot of stuff that was in there that made the story better and made Scott's, like, being a piece of shit, like, more part of the story and not just, like, something that happened. Because people are like, oh, God, Scott's so unlikable. Like, yeah, that's kind of the point, like, that we want him to do better. Like, not that he's cool.
That's the whole thing, guys.
Yeah.
I've got really no good answer for that, I think, other than, you know, maybe Watchmen, and I don't even think that would be a great answer.
Oh, the other thing I said was The Room, because I would love to see what Tommy Wiseau would do, even more unrestrained.
I would go so far as to add any Tim Curry movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just fun.
I think a single 4-hour movie that just encompasses the Clone Wars animated series.
Oh yeah,
would work. It
probably be good because then I wouldn't have to watch that whole series, and then they could also maybe make like a good like storyline that like, not to say that series was bad, but I'm just saying like, you would have like a single cohesive thing that you could be like, ah, here all of it is.
Here it is, the Clone War.
Yeah.
Or like Avatar, Last Airbender. Like, there's no saving the movie that was already made, so a 4-hour cut's not going to save it.
No, but
like a 4-hour movie with that could have worked.
Actually, I was just thinking of the of Korra. Yeah. Like, if you'd made one 4-hour movie of Korra, I feel like you could solve a lot of the issues that like the weird production schedule Nickelodeon put them on caused,
and also probably a lot of the weird, like, you know, Nickelodeon didn't want to let them have Korra be gay.
Yeah. Or, and like, also like, but also the fact that the first season was like, we have to address a lot of different issues, but also because the Avatar is a girl now, there has to be a weird romance plot line.
Yeah.
Not that Avatar The Last Airbender didn't have some weird romance plot lines. I'm still really freaked out by the fact that Aang's like 8. And
I'm also still really mad that, like, look, okay, I'm gonna go on my tangent for a second about how I hate the ending of The Last Airbender. And it's because, like, it's set up that Aang will have to make a choice between, like, being able to love Katara or being able to, like, stop the Fire Nation and, like, control the Avatar state and defeat the Fire Lord. And I'm like, okay, cool, that's like setting up an actual decent choice. But then fucking magic turtle teaches him that he can just remove the Fire Lord's powers. Like, it's some absolute bullshit. And on top of that, like, it made it feel so forced that it was like, you know, oh no, Aang has to love Katara. I'm like, he's 11, he ain't gotta love anybody. Like, like, I don't know.
So you didn't love when Sokka loved the moon?
I mean, I loved it for comedic purposes, but for other purposes, no.
Damn, that's rough, buddy.
Exactly. Sorry, tangent there, but
it's fine. But yeah, we can end it here, right?
Yeah, now that I've yelled about Avatar, sorry.
That's not why we're ending it. Yeah. It's just, it was time to end the podcast 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it would be like another half hour of us talking if Dom and I went on to DuckTales finale, and maybe we should do a separate episode for that, Dom, so Eric doesn't have to listen to us.
Yeah. Do we want to give some just quick thoughts, though?
It was really good.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Me too.
It was, it was fun. I liked it a lot. And I kind of wish they had shuffled around some of the episodes of the season, because I now see, like, it's a very webby, not a webby heavy episode finale, but she's a very big part of it. And that seems like maybe that's why she was so present this season.
Especially at the beginning of the season. So yeah.
I wish they would have shuffled it so it wasn't like 6 webby episodes in a row where like everybody else is gone.
Yeah.
Because all those episodes like are even better in retrospect now. But like, yeah, ton of fan service, ton of callbacks, ton of resolution. A little bit of like, oh, of course the heroes win kind of luck, but that's the whole point of watching a show. The heroes get lucky. That's that's why there's a show about them. But no, I liked it a lot, and the ending credits sequence It's not really a spoiler, but it's just really, it was really fun and cute. It reminded me of the season 2 promotional poster, because they're all falling, and it was, it made me smile and like warm and tingly. It was the way you do a reboot, and it got a nice, got a nice send off. So, yeah, we should talk about it in depth for a separate episode or something soon.
Yeah. All right, should I do the thing?
Hey, cool, that'd be great.
So if you want to find us on the internet, if you enjoy listening to our prattling on in such a friendly and cordial manner with each other, you can do that. You can follow us on Character Rev, at Character Rev on Twitter, at Character Reveal on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us in your browser, characterreveal.simplecast.fm, and, on your, all your podcast places. It, by searching for Character Reveal, you'll see the blue curtains, you know, the whole business. Smash that subscribe button.
Smash that like and subscribe button.
Yeah, I was gonna, I didn't say, I can't say like, but I will say rate and review if you are so inclined to support us in that way. And, you know, you can find all of us separately on the internet. That's Dom at Brother Dom anywhere he wants to be found. You can find Eric at Tendilosi on Twitter, me at Captain Steph on Twitter, Hello Steph on Instagram, and Snowqueer on Tumblr. And you know, we're supported by a wonderful sponsor, name of Grinding Coffee Co.
Yes.
They make, yeah, do the thing, Dom. Say the stuff.
Say Grinding the Coffee Company, they're our sponsor. That's great. We love them. They do fair trade coffee and they're black and a queer-owned company. Like I said, it's fair trade. It tastes very good. Steph has tasted it and can vouch for it very, very nicely. And yeah, and they are sponsoring us. So if you use our offer code, if you use our link in the description and our offer code Character Reveal, you can get a discount. So if you like black people, you like queer people, you like us, you like coffee, you just like deals, or you want something to do, visit Grinding Coffee Company. You'll be glad you did.
Hell yeah! And you know what? If you want to finally support us in a different way, you can toss a dollar or more our way as a monthly donation on our patreon.com account, which is patreon.com/character reveal if you want to check it out. And we'll be getting some, like, some whatchamacall, some
reward tiers
and stuff together in the future, but for now, like, just a little support helps us out. And you know, if you're like, my dollar, try and make a choice about where your dollar should go though this week, maybe there are plenty of different charities and GoFundMes that are supporting the Asian American community right now, so maybe throw the money that way.
Yeah,
and we can probably talk about that more going forward. Just something to keep in mind. A lot, keep the energy for people of color. We really all need it, but they're the folks right now, and look at some of those organizations.
Yes.
Yeah. Not our longest episode, but it felt like it. But yeah, listeners, thanks. The Snyder Cut got me. Look, I tapped out at BFF Breakfast Food Fan. That destroyed me early. But listeners, thanks for sticking with us through another one. We appreciate you all. I don't have much for an intro, outro. So, wow. So until
next time.
We're starting
another podcast right now. Intro. Let's go.
Welcome to Geekly Reveal. And until next time, see you later.
Bye.